Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. I hope you had an opportunity to listen to last week's segment of Franchise Today. My guest was attorney Jonathan Redgrave. Jonathan, a partner at Redgrave LLP, shed some very serious light on the legal implications of social media and provided a panoramic snapshot of information law, which, of course, is his firm's exclusive focus. I'm sure many of our listeners came away from the broadcast marveling at the sheer scope of information law and how they're actually touched by it many times each and every day. If you missed the show, please preview it online at www.blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. Thanks again, Jonathan. We really appreciate you taking the time to appear on the show. And as mentioned last week, co-producer Joe Caruso and I would love to have you back on the show. Actually, we see information law being a regular topic. In the upcoming weeks, Joe Caruso has also presented me with a stellar lineup of guests for Franchise Today. Next Thursday, November 11th, Joe starts a new two-part franchise financial series. For part one, my guest is Bruce Schaefer. Bruce is the owner of Franchise Valuations in New York City. Our discussion will focus on franchisor, franchisee, succession, and business valuation. We'll also dive into his portfolio on the tax aspects of franchising. Then the following week, on Thursday, November 18th, for part two of the Franchise Financial Series, Joe's bringing in David Pearl, business financial consultant at Pearl Business Group and former chief financial officer at eBrands Restaurants and Sonny's Franchise Company. Our discussion will target cash management for franchise companies, financial performance metrics, franchisee reporting and analysis, and mergers and acquisitions. Of course, the following week is Thanksgiving, and Franchise Today will recognize the holiday and take the week off. After all, I really don't think your family wants to listen to me as you carve the turkey. Then we'll come back from the holiday with the IFA's Lisa Harrison as my guest on Thursday, December 2nd. As most within franchising are aware, Lisa is Vice President of Communications and Marketing at the International Franchise Association. Lisa and I will discuss the upcoming IFA convention, other IFA events, and an overview of new leadership at the IFA, and basically an update on all things IFA. So my thanks again go out to co-producer Joe Caruso as he continues to keep Franchise Today pipeline filled with the brightest minds in franchising. Well, turning to franchise news, Nancy Weingartner, executive editor at Franchise Times, reports their November-December issue should be hitting mailboxes this week. The cover story is on the second generation joining the business, seen through the eyes of the Bridgman family. According to Franchise Times' sister publication, the Restaurant Finance Monitor, Junior Bridgman was a professional basketball star with the NBA Milwaukee Bucks before becoming the third largest restaurant franchisee in the country. Now, two of his three kids, Eden and Justin, are learning the ropes at his Chili's, while their brother gains financial acumen at Taco Bell. The article delves into the family dynamics of joining Dad's company. And as I remember Junior Bridgman playing in the NBA, and as he now has children in the business, I am feeling old. Also in the November-December issue, there are lots of success stories and a look at the home health care and fast casual restaurant industries. And January is Franchise Times' 20 to Watch issue. So listeners are encouraged to email Nancy Weingartner suggestions of franchise professionals who are on task to do great things in 2011. Nancy's email address is nancyw@franchisetimes.com. If you're not a current subscriber to Franchise Times, may I suggest you visit their site at www.franchisetimes.com and subscribe today. Thanks again to Nancy and Franchise Times for providing information for our franchise news feature on Franchise Today. Now, turning to the IFA corner, we are now 4 months from the IFA convention in Las Vegas. And if you haven't already done so, please register for the event. And you may do so by visiting the Franchise Essential site at www.fmdpro.com, where you'll find the IFA 2011 logo. Click on the logo, it'll take you directly to the IFA convention registration page. Today, the IFA announced Steve Forbes, chairman and CEO of Forbes Media, and editor-in-chief of Forbes Magazine, will be a keynote speaker during the closing general session February 16th at the convention. To this, IFA chairman Ken Walker said, Steve Forbes' extensive experience in business, politics, and the economy will provide valuable perspective for IFA members as the franchise industry strives to grow in today's difficult economic climate. We look forward to hearing Steve Forbes' outlook on the economy, particularly the opportunities and challenges, including the lack of access to credit for the small business and franchising industry. This is another good reason to complete your registration for the IFA convention as soon as possible. In other IFA news, this weekend is the West Coast Franchise Expo in Los Angeles, California. I'm sure it'll be a great event. Safe travels to all attending the event. And if your franchise is not already doing so, I encourage you to participate in IFA's Veterans Transition Franchise Initiative Program, known as VetFran, and help honorably discharged veterans transition to civilian careers. Nearly 400 IFA member companies voluntarily participate and offer financial incentives, typically a discount on the initial franchise fee. Nearly 1,800 veterans have purchased franchises since the program was relaunched in 2002. So please do your part to help former U.S. military personnel pursue the dream of small business ownership. For more information, please visit the IFA website at www.franchise.org. Well, a certain hamburger concept has been brought to my attention, so let's take a look at the illogical and sometimes comical side of franchising in this feature we refer to as Are You Kidding Me? As you can tell by the music, Jaws is the name, but actually Jaws Jumbo Burgers, not what you can't tell from the music or from any information they provide online, franchising is not their game. As evident on their website, which looks like a three-year-old designed it, Jaws Jumbo Burgers appears to be anti-franchisor and a non-franchisor. They also appear to be endorsed by Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien, as their likeness and names are on their menu, which is also on their website. It seems to me, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, or in this case, a franchise. So I ask, are you kidding me? Wow, it's amazing what some people will try to get away with. Well, as we know, much has been written about utilizing social media within franchising. Some see it as a new way of doing business, while others are looking for a silver bullet to offset financial woes and poor practices. Many view it as the unknown and have yet to embrace it, and most, if not all, want to know how can it help my franchise organization. In addressing this question, discussions have heated up about the necessity of social media policies and procedures and how the very essence of the same may place undue control over franchisees. And in addressing this question, attempts have been made to jumpstart franchise development efforts after recent economic uncertainty while continuing to explore more effective methods of attracting qualified franchise leads. And in addressing this question, franchisees, feeling the crunch of a more tight-fisted consumer than in years past, are seeking assistance in driving leads to their bricks and mortar and virtual storefronts. And in light of the required maneuvering to avoid potholes created by the recent bumpy road caused by the above factors, many franchise professionals have cited effective communication at all levels of franchise organizations as paramount to future success. So I'm excited to announce an upcoming webinar, Franchise Social Media Best Practices for Brand Awareness, Lead Generation, and System-Wide Communications, which I will be presenting on Tuesday, November 30th from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Time. Now, in the webinar, participants will learn why social media is different within franchising than for other business models. They'll also learn how to develop a social media program, including policies and procedures specific to the franchise organization, how to integrate new technology with traditional marketing, and why it's not rocket science. They'll also learn why today's consumer and franchise candidates are different than from years past, and how to create brand awareness for multiple benefits to the franchise organization. Last, they'll also learn how to generate genuine interest in franchise opportunities and why a seamless transition from virtual world to the in-person is essential to closing franchise sales. Again, that 90-minute webinar will be presented on Tuesday, November 30th, 2010, from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Time. And for more information, please visit the Franchise Essentials website at www.fmdpro.com. And as I said, we're talking about generating interest in franchise opportunities. And, of course, social media continues to generate buzz and excitement while also creating a world of questions on how to utilize it effectively for business purposes. And that has especially been the case of late within franchising, as evident by the discussions taking place within the LinkedIn franchise groups, with a clear focus on utilizing social media for franchise lead generation and franchise sales purposes. To that end, we titled today's show, Social Media and Franchise Sales, Where's the Magic? And just this past week, Franchise Today co-producer Joe Caruso posted a link to a news article about Häagen-Dazs Ice Cream's recent social media efforts involving Facebook and an interactive game they've dubbed Ice Cream Boss. Their objective is to generate interest in the Häagen-Dazs franchise opportunity and to attract qualified candidates. In the discussion post, Joe posed the question, franchisors have been frustrated by efforts to leverage social media to recruit franchisees. Will the Häagen-Dazs Facebook plan be effective? So here's my take. Let's talk first about the actual site franchise on Facebook that Häagen-Dazs put out called Ice Cream Boss. Right off the bat, there appears to be some initial things that I think could be corrected. But before I get into that, I'd like to acknowledge the fact that they thought outside the box, and I think there's some kudos to be had for that. I think they stretched their limits, went after a candidate that might be in the world of social media, but I think some of the execution might be off target here. If you look at the Facebook page, and first of all, if you go into Facebook and you attempt to find a Häagen-Dazs Facebook page, you'll find that there's four or five or six different ones that are out there, all with fans, all with people that like it, all with a following. So even today, in preparation for today's show, knowing that the Häagen-Dazs Facebook page had a segment that links to the Ice Cream Boss page, I couldn't find it. I actually had to go back into my own personal Facebook and go to my like section and find the page and bring it up so that I can review any last activity before today's show. In addition, when you look at it, it's actually a little bit difficult to get into. I think the question that we have to ask first is, you know, is there too much information required up front before you could actually get into the site? I know if I looked at it from the perspective of checking it out before having to get involved, I'd want to be able to tap into the frequently asked questions and the terms and conditions that are on the page. Yet, when I do so, it asks me to log in. Then the question is, what would they do with the information used at login? I think there needs to be some disclaimer there. And then, of course, you know, when you're talking about information, and we've all heard about all the brouhaha going on with Facebook and privacy issues, one would have to think, what are they doing with my personal information, especially as it's being conveyed and translated through a social media site? So these are some apparent questions that I think can easily come up in searching through this. But, you know, let's bring it back to, well, let's look in a minute first as again, I want to emphasize that we do owe the Haganos folks thanks for pioneering this social media tactic and giving us something to learn about it. I mean, it is all about transparency. We all are in this great thing called franchising, and it is great that we learn from each other. But, you know, when you look at the actual tactical part of this and you look at the execution, I think what might be missing here is the strategy behind this. Was there a strategy? Who are they trying to identify? At, of course, a price point of, you know, $200,000 plus, I would say that the franchise candidate they're looking for is most likely a sophisticated individual. And I think the game that they've set up at on Facebook as Ice Cream Boss is too simplistic. And a term that somebody referred to me just before the show, you know, underwhelming. It is so simplistic that it is underwhelming. It just seems too trivial. And my initial thoughts would be, if you had a candidate that was sophisticated, that has seen all the information about your concept and was prepared to move forward and then saw this, might actually raise some questions as to what other franchise candidates they might be attracting that might go into my same marketplace, the simplicity behind it, or other systems as simplistic. I think it raises a lot of questions. So let's bring it back to my bailiwick, social media marketing. The gospel we preach at Franchise Essentials is that social media is a powerful component as part of an integrated marketing solution on both the B2C and franchise lead generation fronts. And if you look to identify integrated marketing, the way I basically would describe it is new technology that's integrated with traditional marketing. And basically, we use it at Franchise Essentials, and it's used by a lot of people very successfully, is to create multiple touches, to create multiple messages that come across the candidate or the consumer, if that's who we're targeting, their screen. We're looking to create those multiple touches. You know, we've heard everything in marketing about need to touch a customer or a consumer, you know, 6 or 8 times over a period of time before it generates interest in your concept or your brand. Well, a lot of us don't have the time to generate those touches over a 8-month or a 1-year period of time. So the great thing about integrated franchise marketing and with all the different tools, especially that social media bring to the table, is that we could actually touch that same candidate, that same consumer, multiple times, often within a very short period of time. And I think that's really the key. It really shortens the time frame here. You know, again, looking at this scenario with Haganos and their Ice Cream Boss page, you know, one has to look at the interest that was generated from it, especially within the LinkedIn discussion groups. And I know it's been all the buzz, and I'm sure it's going to be talked about quite a bit this weekend at the West Coast Franchise Expo as franchise executives gather around and they look for new ways to generate leads. And on the LinkedIn discussion groups, there was a lot of activity. So I'd like to talk about some of that activity and talk about some of the specific responses that came through. And I'm not doing this to be critical. I'm doing it more to share ideas to the people that haven't seen the discussion group. And, of course, I do recommend that you look at all the franchise discussion groups on LinkedIn because there's a plethora of information and discussions that are going on about social media. And as Joe Caruso posted this in probably six or seven different franchise groups, he did receive answers back and responses back from several of the groups. But one I like to point out right off the bat is one that came through that said, I like the idea. Wonder what type of return they will see. In the grand scheme of things, if they sell one additional unit per year, is it worth it? I would say so. Well, I tend to disagree if we're only looking at one additional unit per year. I mean, that's like the old adage, going to a franchise convention, a trade show, and spending thousands and thousands of dollars in order to generate franchise leads, and one sale becomes of it, what's the cost effectiveness there? And I think the same thing true is here. So I don't believe the statement of, selling one franchise would be worth it. Certainly, if the program enhances all their entire franchise efforts, their recruiting efforts, and it has shows an increase across the board in franchise sales, then it would be worth it. But again, we'd have to get down to the specifics and the metrics behind franchise lead generation and closing ratios. But I don't think that just selling one would make it worth it. So there was another one, another response posted out there, and it said, I have to agree. The Häagen-Dazs campaign sounds like a good idea conceptually, but it doesn't seem like they're really targeting and attracting prospects that effectively. Rather, it seems they're putting out a potentially good engagement tool, the game, and hoping prospects find it, use it, and convert it. And, of course, we already talked about finding it. I think that's a challenge right off the bat. This respondent goes on to say, in my opinion, you really have to research where your prospects are active online as the first step. And by active, I mean the places they go for the information, and that may be Facebook groups, it may be certain blogs or forums, and it may be LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, etc., all of which can be considered social media. Absolutely spot on that. It is something that we refer to a lot at Franchise Essentials as EIDEA, a very simple acronym for social media that we refer to as explore, identify, develop, execute, and analyze. The person goes on to say, once you've had a good understanding of where the prospects live online, then you could backtrack from there and start developing a strategy. And I think that is what is often missed in franchise social media today, is actually putting the cart before the horse. And even though he says to backtrack, that is true, but the cart before the horse would be executing the plan before actually having the strategy in place. This respondent goes on to say, so putting my franchisor cap on, if I was considering Facebook as a recruitment source, I'd first look into the groups, applications, and pages that are focused on entrepreneurship, my industry, et cetera, to see whether or not there are indeed a good pool of prospects congregating somewhere on Facebook. And that really is a strong point, because unless you know who your target is, and this is really the important part of targets, knowing where they congregate and where they communicate online, if you don't know that, your social media program is not going to be successful for whatever your objective might be. And in looking at objectives, it's really important to identify objectives. And a lot of times it might be multiple objectives. And if there are multiple objectives, that means there may be the necessity of various forms of social media platforms that need to be used in order to achieve each particular objective. Keep in mind, there is no one-size-fits-all program. What might be right for one company in the ice cream world might not be right for a company in the home healthcare world. Two different targets, different type of messages. I really don't think the people in the home healthcare world would appreciate the fact that people would refer to things as a game. It's a more serious thing. Ice cream is fun. So keep that in mind as you're looking at these out-of-the-box strategies that you may try to implement within your own franchise concept. You know, keep that in mind, again, with the target audience in mind and their sensitivity to certain issues. This responder also went on to talk about a good example as he puts out PostNet's Facebook page. They've added a custom landing page, which immediately asks the user to like their page with incentives for doing so. Once you like the page, you subscribe to their feed, so any wall updates they make will come into your profile feed. In addition, they've added a custom tab on a PostNet, which has basic information and a lead capture form. And I think this just comes right to light in what we were talking about at the beginning of this. You know, what's in it for them initially? Why do they have to give up so much information? Why is it so difficult to enter into their game mode? And right here with PostNet, as he puts out the information, is that they're able to like the page, which takes no information whatsoever except clicking on the like. They actually get an incentive for doing so, but then they have the opportunity to kind of sniff around and snoop around and see what information is out there. Another post came in, another response came in and said, "It would appear to me that if a brand has the financial performance credentials, it would really be differentiating itself as an investment option by including the best of it in its FPR, financial performance representation, to promote the brand and the franchise to potential buyers. Nothing could be more powerful, really, and that 70% of brands that make no FPR of substance are really vulnerable to being mauled in the marketplace by their competitors. So why hasn't some enterprising soul analyzed the top 500 FPRs and sought to separate the wheat from the chaff? Anyone interested in a joint effort?" He says it would be a great thing to get out there in the social, the FPR barometer. Well, of course, you know, that's a separate topic for a different day, and certainly there needs to be caution if any type of financial performance representation were to be put on the site itself. Because what lives in social media or what's put out on social media lives forever. And it's something that can be used. So if you put any type of financial performance representation, please be 100% sure that it's in line with the FPR that is in your FDD. Well, there was a rather lengthy post that came through in response to this, and he says, "I love the creativity that went into developing the idea and applaud Häagen-Dazs for trying something out of the ordinary. It may work for them, but I would think only to recruit those likely to open and operate single units. Not much for the most sophisticated multi-unit franchisee many are seeking these days. There's certainly a connection possible between the fun of playing a game and the fun associated with ice cream. Even the argument would have to stand the fun of selling it to others for your livelihood. But I don't know how many sophisticated business owners looking for their next big investment are going to be hanging out on Facebook playing a management game." And I think there's a lot of truth to that, and I already explained some of that. But where I differ in my opinion on this is that I think a lot of them are using Facebook. However, they might not be willing to play a game. But, you know, to that end, it really amazes me at how many people, even what I would deem sophisticated people and highly educated people, are actually playing a lot of the games on Facebook, like Farmville and Mafia Wars and Family Feud. It really is amazing at how many different posts and messages that I get within Facebook from people, and I think there's no way that person has taken the time out of their day to play Farmville, is there? So I think they would play games, but I don't think it would be for the purpose of looking at a franchise opportunity. But I do disagree that a lot of them do hang out on Facebook or at least visit it on a regular basis. And I certainly would think with all the attorneys that I'm friends with on Facebook that we definitely would consider them very sophisticated and intelligent. And I always look forward to their posts, and I always look forward to communicating with them. So I don't think it's right to be able to generalize that just because of an investment level that they wouldn't be hanging out on Facebook. But he goes on to say, I would also question how well this particular idea would translate to other concepts that aren't so festive in nature. And, of course, that's something that we had just talked about. He says, would as many be inclined, say, to try completing a fictitious filer's tax return and see if he can beat the pros in getting the bigger refund? Perhaps not. Would they be thrilled at wrapping an overnight package in record time and fastening it with a single piece of tape or racing against the clock to process a multi-package shipment heading out to various domestic and international destinations? Still, would I like to try my hand at creating a floral, edible bouquet, and could doing so leave me more receptive to the suggestion that I might like opening my own 1-800-Flowers.com or edible arrangement shop? It very well. You know, it brings up some interesting points about how this particular type of initiative could be used with different franchise concepts. And really, for the most, it doesn't work. So maybe if we're looking at this really constructively, maybe Häagen-Dazs really has something. Maybe they've identified something that can't be used by the competition, and therefore that's the reason they're using it. So that does shed some interesting light on it. This man goes on to say, one of my franchise clients did in fact contact me today, having seen the QSR story, which of course is the story that Joe posted within these franchise discussion groups, and expressed intrigued over the fact that Häagen-Dazs is going to Facebook to attract qualified franchisees. He said, I share that intrigue. I think the underlying idea of finding a unique way to engage your target audience is certainly strategic. More and more with the changing ways in which we reach and resonate with people these days, it is essential to separate message from the noise and do so in a way that holds your intended audience's attention long enough to place themselves in your pipeline before they move on to the myriad other distractions in the social media and real world. You know, the thing is, you know, when you talk about, you know, noise, too often than not, we don't know which noise they're listening to. And I think it's important in today's day and age not to look at social media as some magic and some silver bullet way of answering all the problems, being the cure-all for bad practices. And when I talk about bad practices, I'm even talking about, you know, poor follow-up and everything else that goes along with it that we've been preaching about for the last year. It has to do with social media being a tool that can be used and integrated, as I just talked about, in integrated franchise marketing, integrated with traditional strategies. There needs to be more of a call to action. There needs to be more of a continuation, and that's something that I don't see in this ice cream boss. And, of course, it may very well be at the back end of it as this game progresses, but I think too often than not in this case there may be lost opportunity because of the simplicity of the game. This respondent goes on to say, launching this initiative may yield some higher-end franchise candidates as well, albeit in an indirect manner. Witnessed by the QSR story and this very LinkedIn discussion, the very fact that HD has undertaken this effort has got the media and social media buzzing about their franchise opportunity, garnering Häagen-Dazs new and unique exposure. They may put the brand and its opportunity in front of the right eyes, whether they belong to people who have any inclination to play a Facebook game or not. And I think that is a very good point. And I think, but that goes along the lines with the things that Brad Fishman of Fishman Public Relations, who was my guest a couple of weeks ago, was driving home with respect to social media and public relations. And last, this respondent says, I think this may yield several valuable and perhaps unforeseen byproducts. In eliciting those with the skills and passion to make excellent store-level managers, and perhaps in serving as part of the training process for those who have entered the Häagen-Dazs franchise system. Consider it a flight simulator of sorts. You know, it actually did stimulate that type of thought in my mind when I was having a conversation with another franchise exec about the Sims game that's out there. And if anybody that's got kids and seen the Sims game, it's really quite intuitive and quite compelling to be able to sit there and actually build a city or a building or whichever. There's various games within the Sims family. But being able to build a city, and you think, oh, well, that's just child's play. Well, I'll tell you, if you haven't had an opportunity to play it, I highly suggest you do, because it takes a lot of thought and it takes a lot of time. You know, for instance, you know, you have X amount of money, you're the mayor of a city, you build houses in this area. If you don't have utilities going to that area, you're going to have a lot of dissatisfied residents. If you go ahead and overbuild and don't put in the infrastructure and police and ambulance and fire, then you wind up with a crime-ridden area. And as you're moving in one direction and you're trying to develop, it's taking money to go ahead and put out fires and dealing with disasters in that area. And I could just imagine, I could just envision, and if anybody's out there from a technical standpoint wants to joint venture this, please give me a call, because I don't understand the programming behind it. But I think, wow, what a fabulous flight simulator, as this responder had mentioned. What a great flight simulator that be to develop your own franchise concept online in a game-type format. I think it would be a great training tool. Would it be a good training tool for franchise candidates? No, I don't think so. But, you know, something similar to that wouldn't be a bad tool for franchisees, especially as they're looking to take that next step into multi-unit ownership. So another person responded, I'm looking forward to watching as this unfolds to see how successful a play this ultimately was. And to be sure, we'll use the case as a shining example of the note I have been hitting with increasing frequency these days, the one that urges differentiation and innovation to earn your audience's attention. You know, and I agree with you there. Certainly you want to stand out. You want to be different. But it doesn't always mean that you need to put on get somebody out there, get a guy out there and put on a dress and put out lipstick in order to make it happen. It doesn't have to stand out that much. It needs to stand out more with the target audience in mind, and I think that's really a very important element of this whole thing. And one more response that came in, it says, I work for a part of Career Builder that works solely with franchise companies, helping them attract franchisees through innovative solutions. Our partnership with Facebook has allowed us to bring a social media strategy to our clients to help them find leads. He says, I love that Häagen-Dazs is thinking outside of the box and doing something that fits their culture as a company. And that's really a very strong point right there. It's their culture as a company. It is fun. It is exciting. Not every company is able to have a game simulation similar to Häagen-Dazs, new to the nature of the business. But every company can take advantage of the Facebook audience. If anyone is interested in talking strategy, this gentleman says that he has helped other companies customize campaigns, et cetera. And that also is on one of the Facebook sites. You know, social media evolves as social media evolves and more tribalization occurs. What's going to happen is the emerging cohort groups can be penetrated. And it's fast becoming the point of connection where savvy marketers are serving up customized content to target audiences. You know, one of the things there, again, to emphasize what we talked about earlier of targets, and we talk about that, as I said, a lot in our social media e-idea. And it really is not rocket science when you look at it from that perspective. But when you look at it from that perspective, you have to look at it from taking care of all the steps necessary. And the steps necessary, to follow that acronym has to do with exploring the various ways, exploring, you know, what your competition is doing. Explore the different types of social media that are available, whether it be video, whether it be audio related, whether it be photos, whether it be SlideShare, and being able to use your PowerPoint presentations, and all the different things, and look at it and look at the tools that you have in-house and integrate that with the new technology as you're in that exploratory phase. And look at the resources that you have in-house. You might have some people that are good programmers and might be able to establish some Facebook landing pages. And look at the people in-house that might be very creative and be able to use video in a very unique way and fashion. And then look at all that and then take that next step, which is I, and identify the target, as you've heard through these various discussions, responses. You know, identify that target, but just as important, you know, make sure you understand where that target congregates and communicates online. And as we talked about earlier about multiple objectives, you might have multiple targets. And those targets might be in multiple places online where they're congregating and communicating. So how will your social media efforts attract candidates from each of those target audiences? And as I talked about, no one-size-fits-all strategy, no one-size-fits-all tactical point in the strategy is a one-size-fits-all. There may be different tactics that need to be used for the various target groups, and sometimes you may need to use two or three tactics within the same target group. The next step in the process is developing. It's actually sitting down and developing a strategy. And one of the things that I like to share, I went through with a franchise client just this morning in developing a social media strategy. And it was really interesting because we're dealing with a couple of different brands within his system, and we actually found several franchisee pages that were already out there. We got into the social media policies and procedures that might be necessary to convince rather than demand the existing franchisees, and work forward in putting together policies and procedures based on the strategy that we were developing for future franchisees. And then in doing so, there was the question, because there was several different strong points that the franchise opportunity presented, that we looked at multiple social media as a way of attracting franchise candidates and using a central point to bring them all to. You know, in the past, we put together a white paper, which had to do with franchise development and social networking. And gives you an idea how long ago that was, because social networking was really what we refer to today as social media. And, of course, before that, you know, everybody just lumped it all together as Web 2.0. Well, of course, you know, as times have changed, you know, some of the vernacular changes as well. But when you look at it, and it's not a lot different than a virtual party. It's bringing people to a party room, to one part of the party, so that you can go ahead and share your message. And as a lot of people in social media ask and raise questions about social media and getting involved, and there's a lot of fear and trepidation, you know, it's not a lot different than an in-person event. You walk into an in-person event, and you may know some people in the room, and you're going to kind of congregate, and you're going to kind of, you know, move towards an area of the room where there's some familiarity. And, of course, around the outside of the room might be a whole bunch of propaganda. There might be some pads and pencils and Frisbees with brand names on it and stuff like that, and that's the sales aspect of it, along the surrounding area of the room, the periphery of the room. But when you get down to it, you know, the clicks, the discussions are in the middle of the room, and it's no different in social media. And as you work your way in, you need to earn the right to be able to communicate within the group. And the first thing to do is by responding, which we've seen some great responses within the Franchise LinkedIn group. And as people get accustomed to it, they're the ones putting new discussions out there, which is really fabulous in the way it is growing the franchise discussion forums. And then you look at it, and you talk about the E and E idea, which is, you know, execution. You know, and there's a lot of things that need to be considered when you look at execution, and I think this Facebook ice cream boss is a prime example of that. The execution is, you know, who's monitoring it? You know, who's tracking it? Who's posting comment? What happens if a comment comes up in the middle of the night and it's a negative? You know, who's responding to it? What kind of alerts are there? How are you going to address a crisis situation? You have two people that are taking care of it, and one of them is on vacation and the other one's out sick. Who's backing them up? Who's handling it on the weekend? You know, what type of monetary resources are you putting at it? What type of time resources are you putting at it? So it's all these different things that need to be considered when executing. And, of course, when executing as well, you need to go ahead and look at what are the various things that I can add to this as it gains momentum. But, you know, when we're looking at execution, what's often missed, and I think I brought this up when I was introducing the franchise social media webinar we're going to be doing on November 30th. And we talk about the transition out of the social world, out of the virtual world, into the in-person world. And that's part of the thing that concerns me about a game scenario of the ice cream boss. You know, as they're in this virtual game-like world, this environment where really mistakes can be made, there are no walls, it's fun, there's a lot of mulligans, there's a lot of do-overs, you know, but taking that game-like scenario, what can the transition be like when it goes to actually in person and it comes down to crunching numbers and it actually comes down to the financials and it comes down to the actual qualifying of the person for a franchise, both from the corporate perspective and from the candidate's perspective? What type of transition is there? Because in any of these circumstances, no matter what your social media strategy is, no matter what your overall online strategy is to generate franchise leads, it's going to come down to people buy from people, okay? And a lot of times there are no faces. There are no, you know, looking at it from a personal standpoint, you know, people that are out there online. There's still this barrier, even though they see, you know, your ugly mug on there, and even though you may even be able to hear them in a webinar, there's still this barrier. There's this defensive system. There's this defense system that's in place. So what happens when the transition is made from the virtual world to the in-person world? And when you're dealing with something like an ice cream boss and there's no interaction on there from franchisees, from franchise salespeople, or even customers within that whole realm, okay, what's the transition going to be like when this individual contacts one of the franchisees and tries to get some validation out of it, whether you like that term or not? It's industry-wide, and people do like to validate things. So what's done at that point if a franchisee is not on board with the ice cream boss game or whatever other type of social media you have out there? And then, of course, you know, comes down to a benefit that we've realized practically by accident with respect to the multiple benefits that social media has generated for franchise companies. And that has to do with communication and information sharing throughout the organization. We're seeing in franchise groups where social media has become a very integral part of their marketing and development strategy, that it actually has improved communications and information sharing throughout the organization. Why? Because for once, a lot of the efforts, the cards are turned over, and a lot of the franchise development efforts are now public domain. I mean, it's in social media. Franchisees can look at it and say, okay, I see. They're looking at the Atlanta market. They're looking to expand in the upper Midwest. They're looking to expand on the West Coast. They see all this. They see this interaction. And you know what? A lot of them are comfortable with it now. And they understand it, where in the past, they didn't want to know anything about it. So there needs to be that type of interaction, that type of information sharing and communications throughout the organization. And again, of course, the main word there is transparency. It's all out there in the open. And again, going back to the Facebook ice cream boss scenario, that transparency to me is limited. It's especially limited on the front side when I go to check in as wanting to play the game, but I've got to go ahead and give over a whole bunch more information that I might be comfortable not be comfortable doing at the onset, even to the point of understanding what the terms and conditions are and deciding whether I want to move forward or not. I mean, even when you buy software online, they ask you to review the terms and conditions before giving any indication of information or anything like that. You're entitled to see those terms and conditions. So one recommendation that I would make to Häagen-Dazs is make those terms and conditions available to anybody that goes on that site. I mean, a poorly executed or reckless franchise recruitment tactics in Facebook or other platforms are not without peril, okay? Your brand could be diminished in the same as in traditional media. And, you know, for example, you can lose franchise sales. And I think we talked about that earlier in this segment when we talked about the people that might have already made the decision and they're doing their last bit of due diligence and they find this type of information there, this type of situation going on, and they might not be comfortable with it being part of the game if that transparency isn't there and that seamless transition isn't there and they're not made aware of all the different aspects that are out there. Nobody likes finding out things after the fact. So, you know, keep in mind that when you're dealing with this, any type of recruitment tactics, you know, if they're poorly executed or reckless, it could result into problems and challenges that might not have been necessary to deal with if there was more of a plan and more of a strategy in place. And then, of course, at the end of the day, too, and the jury is out on this, and we may never know how successful this type of program is and this type of game is for Häagen-Dazs, because I would imagine they're going to keep somewhat tight-lipped about it. If at the end of the next year, the next 12 months, we look at it, and Häagen-Dazs had a significant increase in new franchise sales, and they are realistic, they're not just signing that never get open, then we probably can make our own assumption at that point that it worked. So at the end of the day, it all comes down to, you know, looking at the analytics behind it. And of course, when you're dealing with social media, and a lot of people want to talk about, you know, impressions, and you want to talk about number of clicks and bounce rates. And I understand all of that, okay? I understand the necessity over it, and I know a lot of the very technical marketers out there want to talk about all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it actually comes down to, is the program that you put out there, okay, effective in achieving the results that you were looking to achieve? And, again, that goes back to strategy development and looking at your objectives for even getting involved in social media in the first place. And if you're developing a type of planning, you say, I just want to increase franchise sales, that's not good enough. Say, so I'm putting together this entire program, and our objective is to sell 4 more franchises this year than last year. And this seems to be a well-thought-out strategy to go in line with 4 more sales. Then you have to look at it on a very, very regular basis and hold the people accountable that are responsible for putting together the marketing, for putting together the sales efforts, and look at it and say, okay, we increased leads. Why weren't there more sales? And you have to look at sales as being the key here. It's the expectations going in, the objectives. It doesn't matter at this point about bounce rate and about click-throughs and everything else that's on the technical side. Base it entirely. Form your own social media P&L. Look at the resources you put in. Look at how much you're looking to generate out of it. In this way, to be franchise fee sales, okay, and franchise fee revenue that you receive from the franchise sales. Look at that, and if it's in line with your expectations going in, then you know what? Then your program was successful. But just like a lot of people within franchising haven't done in the past, especially when it came to trade shows, for instance, is knowing exactly what a lead costs them. And I honestly believe that if you look at it and your franchise fee is somewhere in the $30,000 range, your franchise leads, each lead, okay, or the franchise sale, the leads that resulted in sales, actually, you know, $14,000 or $15,000 of that actually was your cost of getting that franchise sale. Don't look at that franchise sale as 30% and say, you know what I mean, $30,000, saying it's all profit. It's far from that. And again, it's looking at the cold, hard numbers. And that's really where the analytics. So again, you know, that's our take on it at Franchise Essential, which is E-Idea, you know, explore, identify, develop, execute, and analyze. And, of course, we've got a lot of information on our site. I really don't like using Franchise Today to promote a lot of the Franchise Essential stuff, but it is what we're entrenched with every day, day in and day out. And it has to do with improving franchise sales and marketing efforts for franchise companies and improved communications throughout. You know, and as we said on our site, you know, the days of promoting franchise concepts and brands primarily through the static, expensive, two-dimensional advertising are rapidly becoming things of the past. And sure, franchising has experienced a great run, and of course, they're going to still stay on top regardless of what goes on with the economy. We're going to pull out of this. There's no doubt in my mind. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, it has created, the economy has created a necessity to explore more cost-effective methods and processes in marketing franchise opportunities. Absolutely the case. And being more cost-effective, you know, today's franchise marketing and development efforts must also be technologically advanced to attract today's more sophisticated, educated, and technologically advanced franchise candidate and consumer than the franchise industry has ever seen before. Because of that, because of the economic uncertainty, today's franchise candidate that's often a transitioning executive looking to replace a job, they're more cautious and more diligent, but they're also more anxious than ever before. Well, another segment of Franchise Today is on the books, as our time today is quickly running out. I do want to thank my co-producer, Joe Caruso, for today's great topic and his continued efforts in making Franchise Today certainly a leader in franchise media, there's no doubt. Until next week, I'm Paul Segretto, wishing you the best in this great thing we call franchising. And if you've traveled to the West Coast Franchise Expo, please be safe and feel free to send us an email, drop, you know, get on the phone, call us, Let us know what happened out there. So Franchise Today is out.